Awesome. Well, worship was awesome, right? If I had, why are you laughing?
The singer right there, you're great.
No. I wasn't. That's not my point. All right. You know. Well, you know, there's a battle of the wits between Casey and I, but I come unarmed. No, I would have stayed in worship. I would have stayed there the whole time. Whether you agree or not, I would have. I love it. I love being in his presence. I love worship. Yeah. How about we start with a quick discussion, all right? Just a quick one. I had a sense this week, and I've had various confirmations, so I know I'm right. and humble, too. And proud of it. So I felt like there's no greater section or segment of our church dealing in spiritual warfare right now than our teenagers. There's just a lot, you know. And Paul, you and I have talked about it, and it's I felt like, you know, sometimes we start the year with a fast, and it, not every year. It's not like it's this religious thing. And we normally pray for each other and pray for our lives. We fast for our families. I felt like the Lord was asking this year that we would actually fast for our teenagers. And I know that we all have problems, and I'm not telling you that you can't fast for, you know, those issues too. And, you know, you can include those. So please don't hear me like this is some religious thing and everybody's supposed to block out. But my gosh, I feel like there's a real effort of the enemy to influence and self-destruct our teenagers, and it's time to dive in and pray for not only their freedom but wisdom to be able to see the root of what's happening and to really ferret out to the core and to know the truth and let the truth set them free, right? And I feel like we're supposed to pray for their destiny, because the world is telling our teens what they're supposed to be and what God is saying is different. And sometimes the two are at war with each other, and at times the wisdom of the world makes the wisdom of God look foolish. And so we want to ask for the wisdom of God to make the world look foolish, and our teens to really prioritize what is important, right? Sound good? Are we all nodding in the same direction? So Daryl, what does this look like? I don't know. I think I almost need to announce it for a week or two more just to make sure we're on the same page, and then we'll just declare a time. But I want to get you thinking, praying, and asking the Holy Spirit now, what would you have of me to do? Because not everybody can fast the same. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's various lengths of time. Sometimes it's things like technology or distractions. We're all called to fast different ways. And the Lord is really just interested in a fast where we're fasting for other people's justice and breakthrough, right? Amen. And so we're going to fast for the justice and the breakthrough of the teenagers. Yeah. Yes? Yeah. Okay. Yes, Sue. I got hands. It's okay. It's just for the internet.
She hasn't had enough experience to be able to draw on the resources she has from those battles that have been won. So she's starting from zero. So far, the Holy Spirit has kind of given her very important things to say to the friends. And what she sees a lot of is teens who are contemplating suicide. So we need to know that our kids are firmly rooted, even though as a teenager you don't always see it, but we know it's there. The roots are now growing, but as we send them out, we need to also ask the Holy Spirit to be there, to provide those words, the wisdom to be able to speak those words that are going to touch the heart of the lost ones. So as we pray for them to become stronger in the Lord, he's already using them. So we need to back them up by asking the Holy Spirit to fill them with the wisdom they need at this early beginning of their walk with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And did I see Eliza, your hand, or Laura?
Yeah, but I just can't. Can you just do like one preteen?
Can we what? Preteens? Yeah, because you want your son involved.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Doggone tree. You know, now I understand why Christmas trees are pagan trees. All right. Tore my ear off. That's all right. I got another one. Okay. So, what's that? Yeah, because I'm a lizard. All right, so no action yet unless you want to be an early achiever and just start on it. There's about two of you that will probably do that. But really just be praying and asking the Holy Spirit for direction, because, again, this is so not a religious thing where we all declare, hey, 3 weeks of this, right, and make it, like, blocked in and you have to do it a certain way. I just want to know that the body of Christ is standing behind the segment that I feel like the Lord highlighted and say we're behind them, right? And for all of us to be also asked in the Holy Spirit, how can we show that we're behind them and maybe befriend them, maybe encourage them, maybe, you know, they need a village. Heck, you guys need a village too. You could use a good teen in your life, right? Yeah, amen. Okay, so Holy Spirit, please open up our ears and our eyes to hear and see what you're saying and doing. I ask that our hearts will say yes to your commands, to your desires, to your wishes for your children. I ask for wisdom as we move forward with the fasting discussion over the weeks ahead. God, I just pray that you'll raise up an entire generation of young people who are passionate and on fire with a flame of love for Jesus. And Lord, who will have the words and the life to back it up, Father. We just ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were teaching on the topic of holiness, and I believe it was Buddy had said, you know, he made a point about the Word of God in that role of holiness in our life, and I was like, we're going to teach on that next week, and guess what? 2 weeks later, Casey taught, and then Christmas came, and I just lied. So... So this is what I promised 3 weeks ago, right? All right, cool. Wanted to review with one statement alone. I don't really want to develop it. I just want you to believe me because I always tell the truth except for 3 weeks ago. God's discipline builds the capacity to carry his glory and steward his power for greater impact. Okay, God's discipline builds capacity in us to carry his glory and steward his power for greater discipline. All right. A lot of times, we've talked about this, I won't go here too long, but we tend to not want the discipline of God in our life, and I'm not talking about the punishment, I'm talking about the way he develops and trains us. We don't like that. And so we love the idea of grace and mercy and goodness, right, which, great, but in his mercy and in his kindness, at times he's developing a discipline, he's allowing things, difficult times, sometimes we refer to them as trials, right? But those things are not something that we're supposed to shy away from, right? Without a trial, there can be no victory, right? Without a struggle, there can be no win, right? Without a dark time, there could be no testimony. We just know, we know that whatever he brings into our path, that he's going to bring us through. You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You're with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me, right? And so we're not asking all the time, keep me on the mountaintop forever. It's not realistic. It's not true to life, right? The point is, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in this moment to ferret out maybe some kind of rebellion in me? Maybe some lies that I'm believing. Maybe you want to, right? Maybe you want me to let go of some good things that I'm doing too often and now taking overboard in my life, right? Maybe I've allowed something to take the place of Jesus in my life, and it's a good thing, but I've made it a god, and it just has to go, right? Maybe there's a place where we're unsurrendered, and we've made the declaration that I surrender all, but our lifestyle is not saying that, right? So his discipline is the kindness that gives us the reminder, I'm going to convict you and bring you back into alignment with my heart. Yeah, good. good New Year's. I didn't plan it this way. It just happened, all right? Psalms 111, 7 through 10 says, all he does is just and good. Can you say all? All. Even when there's discipline of the Lord in our life, even that is just and good, okay? He's not mean. He's not harsh. If you have a bad example of a father, maybe you have no example of a father in your life, and you're trying to picture what it would look like for God to discipline his children, and all you could do is fill in with human thinking, you're wrong, okay? He's just, he's good, and all his commandments are trustworthy, okay? That word trustworthy in the Hebrew, aman, actually means it builds you up, it parents you. All his commandments, right? When you think of commandment, is it a really happy word, or does it tend to be like a, it's a rule? Yeah, the word comes up, right? The little rebel inside of all of us just calls out and says, I don't like commands. Can we call them suggestions? I feel so much better about that. And his commands are trustworthy. They're aman. They build me up and they parent me. They build you up, right? He's giving you a command because it's not to make you force you down some cattle stall to get you to get on the trailer and go off to the market where you could be slaughtered, right? What he's trying to do is he's trying to affirm and build you up and strengthen you, and right? And every good parent wants to see what of their children? That their children succeed and go far, right? And find joy and peace and avoid pitfalls, right? And that is the Father doing that for us. His commands are trustworthy. They're forever true, which means no matter how much culture shifts and tells you what's no longer true, his commands are forever true. To be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. Uh-oh, now we're starting to see Jesus. Jesus up in this psalm. He's paid a full ransom for his people. That's the cross, right? He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. That's the New Testament. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Can we say Jesus? That is the name that is above every name, and he's given us that name, right? Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. Sometimes we're like, I don't want to fear the Lord. I want to think of him as a big huggy bear. Well, he is, but we also respect and we fear who he is when he could flick his finger and galaxies would explode, right? I mean, that's who he is, as well as the huggy bear, right? Huggy bear, thuggy bear. And all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom, praise him forever. So think about this, as we're talking about holiness, and holiness always includes concepts of obedience, and obedience to his commands brings about a promise. There's wisdom that will come into your life. Right? And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. That's Psalms 8 and 9. Right? And so what we're saying is the invitation to step into holiness and obedience takes you another level deeper in the wisdom of God, which is another revelation of his spirit in your life, which is, man, all we ever really want. Yeah? Am I full of it, or is it true? Do you want more of that in your life? Okay, good. Good, because I didn't really want to teach on anything else. In John, no, you know what? I'm going to read something else. I'm going to read Psalms 118 to you, and I don't have a slide for it. Let's see, where do I want to start? Did anybody bring a Bible? You got one? Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to start with verse number 8, okay? So Psalms 118, verse number 8. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in people. It's better to trust the Lord to put confidence in princes. That's people with influence, right? Trust him how? Trust him as he's inviting us into another level of holiness. Trust him in the invitation, okay? Trust him that he's not just trying to condemn us and show us where we're not measuring up, right? At the same time, he loves us so much, he's trying to draw us into deeper communion and freedom, and holiness is freedom. Yes? Okay, so trust him when he's calling us into those places. And then verse 10, this is what I really wanted to show you. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all in the name of the Lord. Huh? I'm not talking about destroying nations as much as I'm talking about demonic activity. Right? And, you know, you see in like the book of Daniel, we have certain demonic principalities that were actually named after nations, like the Prince of Persia, right? So we actually see this representation in here. So I don't really want to get into, hey, I'm destroying countries, physical things. I want to talk about demonic activity that's aimed against you and your family, your loved one, your community, right? Your nation. Though the hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all in the name of the Lord. The actual translation is in the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded me and they attacked me, but I destroyed them all in the authority of the Lord. They swarmed me like bees. They blazed against me like flames, but I destroyed them all in the authority of the Lord. They did their best to kill me, O my enemy, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the house or the camp of the godly. In his strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I could keep going. Do you think a people of God who is unsubmitted to the call or the invitation into holiness will be able to swing the authority of the Lord without the character and the heart of the Lord as if the two are different and not attached? They're directly connected. In the Greek, that word anomo, it's the authority, it's the name of Jesus. It's actually tied to his heart for who he is, what he does, how he acts, how he thinks. It's his reputation, right? So when the call to holiness is actually a call to a deeper understanding of how to wield the authority of the Lord, which is the character of the Lord, which is his nature, in action in any moment. Who doesn't want more of that? Is good, right? And so some of us are like, I'll take it. Soul, don't talk past the close. Tell me, what more do I have to do? Just give me my checklist and I'll check the boxes and yuck. Right? I'm feeling this time is coming where God is going to be so specific with every single one of us. And it's not going to be about checking boxes and doing more. In fact, I think it's just going to be letting go when he says let go. Don't hold that so tightly. Don't control that anymore. Stop trying to harbor unforgiveness, protect yourself. Stop trying to, right? And I think it's going to be that simple, honestly. I don't think it's going to be 30-day programs, you know? I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. And that can even include the attacks of the enemy that have tried to keep you in bondage to certain activities or maybe your family, mindsets. But we have to be able to stop controlling it. And we have to begin to let him control it, right? And that can be scary to give the Lord authority over places that we think we need to maintain control. You know what I mean? There's no greater power struggle than between our soul and what he wants for us. And yet, once we're free of it, we take a deep breath and say, I don't know why that took so long and why I struggled so hard. Thank you, God. So the way I want to talk about getting there today, going forward for the rest of this day, is by finding that in his word. Now, that's not the one and only place that you find the strengthening for holiness in our life, but everything that we experience in the Holy Spirit, in the realm of other believers speaking into our life, it all comes down to one thing. Does it agree with the word of God or not? And if it doesn't agree with the word of God, then we almost have to question whether or not we should follow or trust that source, right? That voice. And so by starting at the bottom and working our way up, we're going to talk about the word of the Lord in our life. And by that, then you can then judge all the other voices, like the voice of what you believe to be the Spirit of God speaking, right? And if the Spirit of God comes at you and accuses you in the moment of trying to lead you into another act of holiness, you know that's not the voice of God. Even though the end result feels right, the lie is that you deserve to be accused, right? That's just one example. If it doesn't line up with God's heart, chuck it. Right? Wait, excuse me. All right, commercial break. John, thank you, 15, Verse 1 through 6, this is Jesus speaking at 11:16 a.m. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You know, this actually kind of confronts this idea that if you want to give your life to Christ so that you don't have to go to hell and you can go to heaven one day, would you like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life now? It kind of makes that look really weak compared to what Jesus is saying right now. He's like, I am a vine, I'm a branch, and I want you to plug into me, and I want you to get life from everything that you do to come out of me and into your life, and I want you to produce fruit. I'm not here in the context of this verse, right? I'm not here to talk about your eternal destiny. I'm here to talk about fruit. What are you going to do today, not in eternity? I didn't sign up for that. Right? And what is he after? He wants fruit. And continuing on, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Wait, don't cut that one. That's my good branch. That one's actually got some life on it. Cut something else. Right? He cuts the good ones so that they will produce even more. Since we're in the mode of looking at our neighbor and saying something, can you say, hey, God wants to do more through you? You're going to have it. God wants to do more through you. God wants to do more through you. Right? You started something. Casey, God wants to do more through you. I'll be your wife until yours is back. Yeah, I, oh, she's good. Here's verse 3. This is cool because I underlined it. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Check this out. What pruned and purified the apostles when Jesus was speaking in that moment? Not a trick question. It's an open book test. What purified them, the disciples, as Jesus was speaking to them in that moment? The message. The message. So that's another case to get the message translation. Jesus is actually saying, the words I have been speaking with you about over the context of the time you have served and walked with me has been pruning you and purifying you. There's power in his words. That's kind of the point, right? And so when we get, you know, your typical American church, it's like, yeah, I read my devotional and it referenced Jeremiah 29:11, and I just high-fived the Lord because he's got a plan for me, and then I went about my day. It's like, wait a minute, if we're not putting the word in, then how is it pruning and purifying and having its way in our life, right? Yay. Jesus then said, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Next slide, please. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Don't forget that. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Can you say much? Much. It's a promise, right? Because Jesus cannot lie. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So again, he's looking for fruit, and he considers things to be useless when they don't produce fruit. That's not meant to condemn you, okay? But if you, yes? Yes. Yes.
I will remain in them.
Yes.
Things are important that
yes.
We don't get those backwards.
We don't get those backwards. So if we remain in him, right?
If we remain in him.
Yes. Then he remains in us, and then we produce fruit. Yes. So here's a great question, and I don't expect an answer. Let's just say it right off the top. This is not meant to have an answer. What does it look like not to remain in him? Huh? Fruitless, dead, hopeless. Can I say the word disconnected, detached, apathetic? Apathetic is the worst because you're not connected and you don't care. What else? All these wonderful adjectives, right?
Unaware.
Huh? unaware, yep, lost, yep, unsensitive,
separated,
empty, dry, useless, burdened,
stagnant.
Don't you? Yeah, this is, 20 Happy New Year. So then anything that is something that's, you know, can I double negative? Anything that's not what it's not must be is what it is. And therefore, so everything that we said that we don't want to be opposite, just don't be those things. Be the opposite of the thing. Be connected. Remain in him, and you won't be dry and disconnected and dead and apathetic and useless and fruitless and, right? Now, that's going to argue with certain people's theology, and you could go home and actually waste your life on the internet trying to argue this point if you want to, and I give you full permission if you really want to be useless. And people will argue, well, you can't take someone out of the hand of Jesus. You can't pluck him out of your hand. I wasn't trying to say that. All I was trying to say is you can do nothing apart from him, and there is some form or mechanism by which you could disconnect from Jesus and be useless. And you can argue the whole impact of what that looks like later. Let me know how it goes. Right? He's going to produce those who are already producing fruit. And doesn't that just tick you off? Because don't you like to be the teacher's pet? When we think we're doing the right thing, the good thing, enough, then he starts to prune us. We're like, wait a minute, what did I do? Right? He's like, man, you're doing great. I just want to, right there and right there. But I want those. Those are my joy in life. He's like, I want to be your joy. Right? But I need that. No, you need me. Right? I feel like I'm free when I have that in my life. And when I don't have it, I feel like I'm trapped. Well, I'm your freedom. Right? And then we produce more fruit when we learn to let go of the things that were choking off life, sucking life. So he sends us messages in the word to help align our heart with his heart. And I just want to emphasize the fact that he is gentle and he responds. So if you feel like you're crying out and you're upset or you're freaking out because you're losing control or you feel like he's just pushing your buttons, he hears you and he responds. Right? And he's asking you to walk with him through this process. He isn't asking you to sacrifice the last few parts of your life that are sanity and good just so that he can say, I finally took it all. Right? So we need to stop blaming him like that's what he's trying to do. He's actually inviting us to remain in him. And there's things that are vying for our attention to pull us out. And he's saying, no, remain in me. It's an invitation. There's this word, just trying to understand even the depth of what it means, but to be enmeshed in him. You know, you think about like what it means to be all, right? And that's what we want. We don't want in any way not to be remaining in him, enmeshed in him. You know what I mean? I'd love for the world no longer to be able to tell the difference of where I begin and he begins. So then Hosea 6:5, and this is for all of us who feel like sometimes we read the Bible, we feel worse about ourselves. Is that any of us? Wrong church? Okay. And Hosea 6, verse 5, the Lord is speaking through the prophet Hosea, and he says, I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with just judgments as inescapable as light, right? Welcome to 2023, as we said. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. So what are we talking about here? We just said the Lord is gentle and he responds, and then we just talked about him cutting us to pieces and slaughtering us with words. Which one is it? Both. It's a yes and, right? What are we talking about slaughtering and cutting to pieces? You know, the thing that comes to mind in the New Testament, we have this word that's called the flesh, right? Carnality. Do we all understand what that is, or do I have to define it? No? You know, that word carnality, if you want to ask what is that word in other languages, like the Portuguese, Paul, right? Do you know what it is? Flesh, the carnal. Okay, it's carne, right? Even with a rrr. It means, literally translates, meat. Meat. Like the desires of your meat. Can I say it that way? They want to do what the cows do. The dogs do, right? They want to do the stuff that's out there, right? Don't eat dogs. He's talking about, I want to slaughter, I want to cut to pieces the meat, the carnal junk in your life. I want to get rid of that stuff, right? Because he says in Romans 8, he wants us to follow after the Spirit, not after the flesh, correct? And the only way to get rid of that stuff is to cut it away and get rid of it. There's no living with Jekyll and Hyde. Yes? Okay, so he wants to pull that, he wants to cut that away, and what was his mechanism? So that was his desire. I wanted to do that, so I sent prophets, right, who were writing scripture into your life so that they could cut you with judgments inescapable as light. Light is the Lord, right? What did I want to do with it? I wanted to pull you into a place of deeper love and deeper knowing. Is it worth sharing? Nope. Think about it. Like, the Lord is inviting us to know him more deeply and to love him, love others more deeply. And his method for doing that is to put out a word that actually kind of cuts us to the core and makes us have to truly examine who we are, why we do what we do, and what are we doing, and where are we going with this? Right? Conviction, not condemnation. Condemnation says you are cut off. Conviction here is saying, I'm cutting this stuff from you because it's not you. It's not meant to be who you are. Make sense? One is redemptive and one is not. Man, I haven't been a hellfire preacher in a long time. His words are not meant to push us away. They're meant to call us in deeper. I just think that you should remember this. Maybe write this verse down, or you know, when you're reading the Old Testament, and if a part of you kind of shrivels up and says, "But I don't love the Old Testament. It just, you know, it's all kind of death and destruction, and it's always looking at the negative. It's always right." Just as you open your word, say, "Thank you, God, that you have judgments inescapable as light in this scripture for me, in the Old Testament, that you're going to carve into the very flesh that is challenging my connection with you. And I invite you and I thank you because you're going to speak to me in that Old Testament scripture the same way you could speak to me in a New Testament scripture. And I will not differentiate from the fact that you can transform me with anything. Your word never fails," right? Rather than, "Oh man, I got to read Job today." You good with that? It's all about the attitude here. So Matthew 5:17, I'm just going to kind of beat on this whole Old Testament thing. Just one more verse, then I'll leave it alone. Jesus said, "Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets. I didn't come to cut the Old Testament out of your Bible," right? "I came to accomplish their purpose." God has a purpose in the Old Testament to lead us to Christ and to show us what we can't do in and of ourselves, right? And so as we see the Old Testament, it just wakes up our heart for, "God, you're so good. You sent Jesus," that we can live these things, but in a New Testament paradigm where there's no condemnation and death and destruction, there's actually just knowing you deeper. Yes? Amen. So then in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah was struggling with the fact that he was trying to be one of those prophets calling people back to the heart of God, but there were other prophets that were speaking the exact opposite and telling people, "Your sins are excusable, God is cool with it, God loves you just where you're at, there's no destruction coming, there's no consequences coming, the temple of God is here, and God is never going to do anything that would put his temple at risk, because his temple is the most important thing." Okay, what happened to the temple? Anybody know? It got smashed. It got torn down. So not one brick was left on top of another. That'll show you what God reveres, right? He was going after hearts. And so during that time where you had these lying prophets speaking in the name of the Lord, right? If we could go to the Jeremiah slide in chapter 23, he said, "Let these false prophets tell their dreams, but let my true messengers faithfully proclaim my every word. There is a difference between straw and grain. There's a difference between junk food and good food, right? Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? That one deserves a place on your refrigerator right next to Jeremiah 29:11. My word smashes, Hulk smash. And my word burns like fire. Like, do we understand what we're inviting into our life as we open up this book and we say, God, speak to me? He's like, yeah, I got a fire for you, and there's some stuff I want to smash. We need that. Need that. Thankful that you're a fiery, smashing God, right? Because the way he's doing it is only to destroy the things that are getting us in the way of us knowing him more deeply. So his passion is just passion on our behalf, not against us. Right? And to know that we have this passionate God who's willing to get involved. Yes?
Reaching out to us, like in the song, he's running after us. Are we reaching back out to him
right.
to meet him there? Or are we waiting for him? We read it, we saw it, so we're waiting for him to do it now without making ourselves ready to receive it by having that right attitude of him doing it, not us.
Right. Yep. Amen. And I loved, so good point where he's waiting for us to meet him, where he's meeting us. I love how he said he calls out the difference between straw and grain, because in today's, you know, similarity, we would say, is it Netflix or is it Bible time? Right? Is it Candy Crush or is it Bible time? Is it just a couple minutes of drooling on the floor because my kids just, like, put me into a coronary? Or is it Bible time, right? There's got to be these places where we value this is not a straw moment. This is a grain moment. The Lord needs to feed, right, us. And we have to open our mouth and let him fill it. Yes? Amen. Matthew 5:6, and I am doing this in the Message version just because it's so dang cool. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and he's drink and the best meal you'll ever eat.
Amen to that.
Right? There is a difference between junk food and good food, straw and grain. Right? We cool with this? I haven't said anything like heretical, right? Oh, good. Oh, good. Which leads us to the 2 Timothy 3:16. You are all waiting for me to whip this out. Here you go. Ka-thunk, it's on the table. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful, even Job's useful, to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. But I don't like to realize what's wrong in my life. I like to be right all the time. People who love you will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Right? It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to, and this makes me very excited, prepare and equip his people to do every good work. There are times where I just don't know. Like, I know he's sending me. I know he's sending you, but then you're like, well, now what? Well, the word of God is meant to prepare us, right? And so as you're reading your word, with one side of your brain, you're saying, God, what's wrong and what are you trying to teach me and do in my life? And the other side is, what are you going to do to equip me today? And there are times where he'll be like, Psalms 118, just mark it. You're going to use it.
What?
Yeah, trust me. And you'll go 3/4 through your day and fall into a conversation with someone and it's like, that's what you were doing, right? It's almost magical. Right? And if we're not putting it in, if we're not embracing it, we're not actually excited about it, we're just doing it out of duty, we're going to miss the whole point. The relationship, the leadership, the development that he's doing in all these steps, right? In all these words. Yay, hallelujah. Good preaching, Daryl. Thanks. So glad you're encouraging. Where are we at? Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. This is the same chapter, just a couple verses higher in the book. We don't go to this as often as we do the 3:16 one. You should know this, Timothy, that the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. It's starting to sound kind of close to home, right? They will be unloving, unforgiving. They'll slander others. They'll have no self-control. They'll be cruel, hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. I really wanted to get to that fifth verse in the context of everything else. Like, if the world is all that stuff, verses 1 through 4, and then we go another step deeper, we get to say we are counted among those that are, can I use the word religious? And you know what I mean by that? We are all contextually religious because we believe in Jesus. But then there's a level within that, some subsection of those that would say, yeah, I'm redeemed, but I reject all that power that can make me godly. And all that power that can make you godly is found in the Spirit of God, but it's all emphasized and directed through the Word of God. Right? It's declared in the Word of God. It's the truth, right? And so, I'm just calling it out. Like, the thing that calls, that separates a believer from the world and then separates a believer from one who has no power for godliness is the one who will embrace the Word of God, the truth, and not reject it. Is that revelatory, or is that like, eh, knew that? That's the difference, right? Did you have your hand up? Sure. Sure. The whole stay away from people like that is don't let them influence you and have a place of influence in your life. Yeah. Because if we were to completely just pull away, they have nobody. Right? But just know this, that someone who's living in obvious sin, rejecting the power of God to make them godly, which is they're actually fighting against this idea of holiness in their life, they're going to try to justify it and find other people who love to live in that misery too. So they're going to love to try to pull you into it and talk you into their perspective on a conversational level. And that's where Paul was telling Timothy, I don't want you to get sucked into that side, because it's really easy to compromise. You don't need friends trying to help you get there. Does that make sense? Okay. People don't save people. Yeah. Yep. I actually heard some with a New Year's resolution or a goal this year that said I would like to drop the people out of my life that are not pulling me to be better. It's good. I mean, I think it's healthy. It sounds a little harsh, but we don't have to, like, use up all our time on people who are not making us better. You can carve out time to minister and try to bless, but at some point, if you're looking to grow in life, right, it sounds so pompous what I just said, doesn't it? It's right on. Trim the fat, but just to realize there are people who want to work with you like soldiers, shoulder to shoulder, going in a certain direction to take new territory. And if you don't have those people in your life and everybody just wants to drag you back into sin and tell you why it's okay, what good is it? Yeah? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I wanted to show you something else. I'll do it. So Ephesians 5, I got enough time, I think. 25 to 27. Now, this context of this scripture is meant for marriage, right? Husbands loving their wives, okay? So not trying to deny that. I just wanted to look a little deeper, starting at the end of verse 25 here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So this is the way Jesus loves us. He gave up his life for her, for us, to make her, us, holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word, right? We're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that gives us our redemption, but we're daily cleansed and washed by his word. Right? He did this to present us to himself as a glorious church. Can you say glorious?
Glorious.
That's a great word for 2023. Why don't we just make that a goal? I want to be glorious by the washing of his word in my life. Without a spot, without a wrinkle. I got wrinkles today. Do you? You know? Or any other blemish. Instead, we will be holy and without fault. We can't get there without the washing of his word in our life. Amen. I think I'm done, but I do want to point out an observation of all the years that I've walked with the Lord, and that is this. When someone is deliberately living in sin, they will run from their Bibles. And they will run from the voice of the Lord in their life. I have watched people say, I can't sit in my car without cranking up the radio just to distract myself from hearing the Lord speak to me and call me back, and I don't want to go. Right? And I'm just trying to call that out now, because I don't want you to live another day in 2023 with your radios turned up and the misery of your heart screaming that you're having fun. Right? If there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, this is not a year to carry that forward, okay? This is not a year for that. This is a year for health and freedom, and watch the bitterness that's rotting away at your bones to be let go, and watch your bones repair themselves. Glorious church, without spot and blemish, okay? And I'm not saying be stupid and go running back and make an idiot of yourself and watch them hurt you again. I'm just saying living with this invisible, untouchable wall of God, you can't have that place in my life. I've been too hurt. I'm in control of that. Do you understand? Not going to win anyway. But, you know, I'm here, so I might as well say something. Oh, man. Ephesians 4, verse 23 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And we don't have to put that up. It's just let the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to let? Let the Spirit. Just means let him. Right? I mean, stop. What's that? Yeah, you can. To let means to let. In the Greek, to allow, to stop resisting, to stop running, to stop fighting against, right? Just let him. It's like he's going to do it if you'll just let him. Surrender. Amen. So here's some things we'll just pray about. You can just throw them on the screen, and we're just going to pray about. Spirit of the Lord, let's pray. I'll run around with the microphone. I feel like we need to hear ourselves pray out some of these concepts. Bring your discipline to increase my capacity to carry your glory and steward your power for greater impact. Bring it. I desire it, right? Make your word come alive to cleanse me, prune me, and produce more fruit in my life. Make me hunger for the word of the Lord and treasure its impact on my life. And then finally, I cry out for renewal in my mind so that we can throw off the old sinful nature, put on the new nature created to be like God. Yes? Does anybody feel bold enough to step into that vulnerability and say, I'm going to pray for that publicly as a family, not as an individual? Cool. A couple more life groups and you'll be doing it. Thanks, Laura.
Okay, God, you showed me this prayer from another person that I heard to increase my capacity to house you. And that's why I raised my hand, God, because I heard that woman say that, and I've been praying that. And now I'm a little nervous because I see it's your discipline that's going to increase my capacity to carry your glory and steward your power for greater impact. But I know that you've got me. I know you've been molding me this whole time, and I've gotten myself into messes way worse than any discipline I think you're going to dish out. So Thank you, and I'm looking forward to it, as are the rest of my church family.
Amen. Yeah. And the Lord, I felt like he said, I don't look down on you for what's not right in your life. I'm just treasuring you for what you're willing to surrender. Yeah. Who else? Yeah.
Lord, today, this month, this year, we pray that your pruning would be effective. Lord, that we would be still as you speak to us, as you guide us, that your light would be upon the path that you would have us to take, and especially in this coming year to go back to what was suggested at the beginning. Lord, we want to be deliberate in going after our teenagers, the preteens, Lord. Each and every one is precious to you, Lord, they're precious to us. Lord, we want to bear fruit for the young ones. We want to be examples that God is the critical part of our life, that they would see your word being lived out in our life, and they would see that the world is but lies, that draws them away from you, that draws them into sin that can be so destructive. So, Lord, do your work in pruning, we pray. Do your work in our lives, that not only are we fruitful within our families, but out into the community that you placed us. Lord, we want to be the servants that can be found pleasing in your eyes and to hear the words, "Well done, my faithful servant." Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing this year, because we believe in you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, you're our Father. And you are our perfect parent. And we trust your full nature within us. Your love has been poured into us by your Holy Spirit, and your perfect love drives out all fear. We will not fear your process, because you are a perfect parent, and you're not moody. Your nature is the fruits of the Spirit and even more. So, Father, we expect your kind voice, your gentle ways as you deal with us as your children. And we ask for grace empowerment to yield our all, to stay in that life union, that remaining. And we thank you that you will produce the fruit through us. Thank you, Father, for this church family.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Dad, that we would find great joy, that you would highlight great joy in your discipline, your pruning, your cleansing. Lord, it's not something to be afraid of, as my sister just shared, but Lord, I ask you to flip that on its head. Make it great joy that we would crave that, that we would come back to you again and say, "More, Lord." Because that comes with the power, it comes with the authority, it comes with the closeness to your heart. So, Lord, make it great joy, not something to be afraid of or trepidatious, Lord, but that we would come. We wouldn't just come willingly, we would come excited to be pruned, to be cleaned, and to be disciplined.
Yeah, amen.
Make it a habit in our life.
Yes.
Lord, I come before you and I pray, Lord, that you renew my mind. Lord, that you take my thoughts and replace it with your words. Lord, that you take my concerns and you replace it with your promises. Lord, that you take my reaction, my emotions, and replace them with your faithfulness. That I remember, Lord, that your word is the path we're on, and that we need to be able to hear and follow your instructions and put our own self behind that. Amen.
Father, I just pray that this year be a renewing of our minds, our souls, our spirits, Father, a renewing of relationships between parents and children, between children and parents. Father, a renewing for relationships and marriages between husbands and wives, between brothers and sisters. Father, that we seek you and align ourselves with you, that this will be the beginning of ridding of all the negative soul ties with those that we have and putting the cross of Jesus between us. Renewing those relationships, start there. Father, that life is too precious, that there should be an urgency today. You have given us a new day, a new year, a new start. You've allowed us all to wake up this morning. You've given us grace and mercy to start it all over again in every moment. Let us not miss what you are trying to give us, what you have handed to us, a precious gift. May we not let it just fall by the wayside. May we step in an alliance with you, Lord God. May we allow you to come in and consume us completely. To open ourselves, to humble ourselves before you. And when we come and humble ourselves before you, Lord, that is where you are. You meet us there in that moment to guide us, to direct us. We seek you for that guidance. And what a better time to do that than in this new year that you have given us. Lord, build our faith. Build our spirit up. Fill us up. Thank you, God. Allow us to be guided and directed by your spirit. And Father, those that have dreams, let them be interpreted, Lord. Let them not take those dreams and put them by the wayside, because that is how you speak to us. Those of us that are not having those dreams, Lord, I ask that those dreams become vibrant. They come real, because those are the times where you're speaking directly to our spirit. Father, that we may know what you are saying, that you are preparing us, or you're preparing us for something else, for something bigger. Or for someone else. Lord, that we may not be shy. Allow us to step forth in the uncomfortable to get comfortable, Father. May this be the year that those people that you are training, that you're raising up, will step forth knowing that you're going to step in. So, Father, we put it all at your feet. We humble ourselves before you in this new year. That you be the driver in our seat. You be the driver in the family. You be the driver in the relationships. We give you all the glory and praise for everything that you are doing, what you are giving and what you're going to do, and what you're going to give. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that your word is a fire and your word is a hammer. And we just invite that into our life, the purification, the breaking off of things, freedom, God, passion, joy, God encounters. Lord, we declare that this is a year of those things, God. Amen. The year of intimacy with our God. Yeah, and we'll start with your love letters. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody. Blow your nose and then go get your kids. Happy New Year.